Parsha Shoftim contains the way that we're supposed to relate to all types of Jewish leaders, from judges to police officers, I'm not going there, the way that we deal with Jewish kings, and of course, even the rabbis. The rabbis are also included in Jewish leaders, and there's a mitzvah in the Parsha, a positive commandment to listen to the rabbis, and a negative commandment, thou shalt not deviate from what they say, which is known as lo sasur, but really there's a positive commandment first, al pi haTorah asher yarucha, according to the Torah as the rabbis teach it, v'al ha-mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh, so do it as the rabbis tell you, lo sasur min ha-davar asher yagidu lecha, yamin u'smel, do not deviate to the right or to the left. The idea, misharshi ha-mitzvah, among the reasons of the mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes from the Ramban in this week's Parsha, the idea that if the Torah was interpreted by each person's own sense of morality, by what made sense to each person, we'd have a lot of Torahs. People wouldn't agree. Two Jews, nine opinions. I just up at a number whenever I quote that. But the idea is that every single person would have their own sense of what's halacha, of what's hashkafa, of what the right thing is to do. So we have to have a central body, a Sanhedrin Agadah, we have to have a Beis Din to tell us the correct interpretations of the Torah. The Torah emphasizes, yamin u'smol, don't go right or left, even if what the rabbis are telling you doesn't seem to be true or moral or make sense to you, you have to follow the central authority. It's true for Chazal back in the day, the ones who made the takanos for us, but also the chacham in our day who interpret the Torah and apply it to our practical halachos. That is the simple understanding of this mitzvah. That is to listen to the chacham as they teach you what the Torah says, as they apply halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, Gzera Shava, Binyan Av, all the midos, Shah Torah, Nedreshes Meham, all the applications of the halacha, that is a simple understanding. But the Rambam, and the Sefer HaChinuch here quotes it at great length, the Rambam has a very surprising and very strange formulation of what's included in Lo Sasur, and again, the essay and the Lo Sasay of listening to the rabbis and not deviating from what they say. The Rambam thinks that every single mitzvah, midrabanan, every takana, midrabanan, every gzera, midrabanan, is also included in this. If one does not follow the mitzvos, derabanan, they are in violation of a biblical precept of lo sasur. Whoa. Where did he get that from? Maran Shabbos, Chav Gimel says, when we light Chanukah candles, we say, vitzivanu. Asher, kedushanu b'mitzvosav, vitzivanu, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Ask the Gemara, v'heichan tzivanu. Where does the Torah say, thou shalt light Chanukah candles? It doesn't. But the Gemara answers, lo sasur. The rabbis tell you to follow the mitzvos. So, you have to follow the rabbis. That's included. The Rambam took this literally and says, if you don't keep a derabanan mitzvah, you're in violation of a daraisa obligation. And I say, analosa, say. What's the obvious question on this? The Ramban asks on the Rambam, how could that be? We have so many differences between mitzvos daraisa, mitzvos derabanan, and the Rambam kind of lumped them all together. Every derabanan is also a daraisa of following what the rabbis say. How would that make any sense? It certainly beefs up the power of the Chachamim, but then how do we explain things like when there's a clash between a Daraisa and a Darabanan, you follow the Daraisa. But if every Darabanan is also a Daraisa, aren't they on the same level? But one who violates Amir La'akam on Shabbos or violates Muktzah on Shabbos, Bichayev Malkus, because it's also a Daraisa of Lo Sasser? And most famously, the Ramban asks, you know, there's a principle of Safek Darabanan Lakula. When it comes to daraisas, if you're not sure, do it again, do it just in case. When it comes to derabanans, we say, safek derabanan lekula. But why would that be? If every derabanan is really based on a daraisa, so then every derabanan is also safek daraisa lechumra. What exactly is the difference? Because of these questions, the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch following him reject the Ramban. They don't think that it makes sense to call every mitzvah derabanan, every takana, chicken and milk, amir la'akam. It doesn't make sense to call those lo sasser. They say it means, as we said before, Lo Sasser and the Asay that's before it refer to the idea of following the Chachamim's interpretation of the mitzvos daraisa. What Chazal make up and tell you is only the Rabbanan, that's not included in this mitzvah. So as far as Sefer HaChinuch goes, we're done for tonight. But what about the Rambam? How are we going to defend the Rambam? What did he mean when he said that Gzeros Rabbanan, Takanos Rabbanan, Mitzvos Rabbanan are included in Lo Sasser? As the Ramban asks, doesn't that make every Rabbanan a Daraisa, blurring the lines? There are many wonderful explanations to explain the Rambam. I'll share with you the Meshulah Chachma on this week's parasha, a really phenomenal idea, which gives us a nuanced understanding of mitzvos, both Daraisa and Rabbanan. He says that every mitzvah Daraisa really has two different aspects to it. Every mitzvah Daraisa is both a tzivoy ha-melech, to follow whatever Hashem says, whatever he says. It could be wearing green shirts, whatever Hashem says, just do what he says. But there's also something inherent about that value. We'll focus on Losa essays to make it simple to understand, but the same thing is true for essays. If Hashem says not to eat pork, when a person eats pork, there's really two things being violated. Number one is, you're not listening to Hashem's commandment, you're rebelling against the king. Number two is, you're ingesting something into your body that Hashem is telling you is poison. There's spiritual poison for a person to violate Shabbos, to eat something not kosher. Aside from whatever the king says, you're also doing something harmful internally. That these two aspects of all mitzvos and all averos actually can be parsed out. This case where you have only one violation, but not the other. For example, a person violates an avera b'shogeg. They forgot that it was Shabbos, or they didn't know it was not kosher food, and they eat something b'shogeg, or they violate an avera b'shogeg. Do they have to do teshuvah? Yes. Why? They didn't rebel against the king. They forgot. It wasn't really a harmful rebellion, but they still ate poison. The other aspect is still there. You also could have only the other side. The Gemara has a comment based on the laws of Nedarim. The Gemara learns that a person who tries to violate the laws of kosher goes into McDonald's and tries to order something not kosher. But the person in the back realizes, here's a Jew, and takes out some airline food and serves it to you. You think you're eating not kosher, and you're actually eating kosher, you have to do teshuvah. Why? You didn't ingest poison. You actually ate kosher food. On the other side, you intended to rebel against the king. You could have either one or both. That's by mitzvos de'oraisa. By mitzvos de'rabanan, says the Meshech Chachma, even if the Rambam is right that there's some biblical violation of lo sasser for every rabbinic violation, it's only one of those elements. The rabbis only can make up the command, and Hashem says, listen to what they say. They're your kings. Just like the king could tell you, wear green today or don't walk through this field. The king could tell you whatever he wants. Hashem says, listen to what the rabbis say. Listen to what the leaders say. But the rabbis don't have the power to make things into poison. The rabbis don't have the spiritual physics to alter the universe so that a person who is unsuspecting violating it has ingested something harmful for themselves. That aspect is not possible by the rabbanans. The Nesivos actually says, based on this, a person who violates a derabanan b'shogeg doesn't have to do teshuva at all. Think about it. It was b'shogeg. You didn't mean to go against the rabbis or against Hashem. And as far as ingesting poison, you didn't. Because the rabbis can't make something into spiritual poison. The rabbis, when they said you're not allowed to have chicken and milk, it doesn't turn it into a cheftza. It doesn't turn it into something harmful. And now we can understand why, even though the Rambam says all mitzvos derabanan, if you violate them, you violate lo sasser daraisa. That means with regard to not following the king, and the king told you, follow the human kings, follow the king, follow the rabbis, follow their instructions. But it's not at the same level as a real daraisa, things that have both elements, the element of the following the command and the element of the spiritual poison, the spiritual opportunities. For that reason, when we come to suffix daraisa, we go to chumrah. I don't mean to go against the king, it's only a case of suffix. But why would you eat something that could be poison? Don't do that. By suffix derabanan, okay, you're not going against the rabbis, you don't really know, you're not sure. You're not looking to rebel. And it's definitely not poison, because even at worst case scenario, the rabbis don't have the power to create something like that, which explains why when they clash, we follow daraisa. In a case of suffix, we're more lenient. All the discrepancies between daraisas and derabanans can be explained according to this Meshech Chachma. It's a very nuanced understanding of mitzvos daraisa and a sophisticated understanding also of mitzvos derabanan.